Well, I figure if I'm going to ask the second graders and the third graders and the fourth graders and the fifth graders and the sixth graders and so on to stay in here with us today, I wanted to start with you guys. So I have a question for you. You ready? Have you ever had a party? I mean, you hosted a party, right? You had a party? Like a birthday party, whatever. Did you send invitations? Did you send out invitations? Have you ever had a party where you sent invitations? You know, maybe you did it on the internet these days, but you know, whatever. It's kind of fun to send out invitations, right? Invite people that are your friends to come to your party, celebrate your birthday or your graduation or whatever it may be. But you know, sometimes I think what's maybe more fun is when you get one. You get an invitation. Have you ever got an invitation to a party? That's cool, isn't it? And how does that make you feel when your mom comes back from the mailbox and she goes, "Oh, this is for you." And you look and your name's on it and you open it up and somebody's having a party and they want you to come. How does that make you feel? I want you to take about 30 seconds, turn to your neighbor and tell them how you feel when you get an invitation to a party like that. Okay? All right, go. Okay, time's up. I know exactly how that went. All the men went, good. Anyway. All right, back to young people. When you come into this sanctuary on a day like this, and you walk in and you see these tables set up, you know what you should think about? It's a party. Somebody's having a party. And that somebody is Jesus. Now, when you come here to this party, like every party that's good, I mean, have you ever been to a party that didn't have food? I mean, that's the main thing at the party, right? Well, I got good news and bad news. At this party, we have food. Jesus has food. The bad news is it's not ice cream and cake, but this is very special food. It's only a little bit of bread, just a tiny little piece of bread. And then it's a little cup, and that's all it is. It doesn't taste especially good. In fact, the bread is supposed to taste pretty plain. And the cup, it's just a little bit of grape juice in that cup. That's it. It's not because it fills our tummy. It's not because it tastes really, really good. It's what it means. It's what it represents and symbolizes for us who believe in Jesus Christ. We come to this table, His table, to eat this bread, to drink from this cup, to remember what Jesus has done for us on the cross. The bread is like His body, broken for us. And in the cup, well, what's in that cup, that little bit of grape juice, it helps us remember His blood that was shed for us. Now, most of you guys, you just got out of school, right? But have you ever had this experience at school, you know, related to that party idea? Where you get to school and everybody's talking about a party, and it was last week, and suddenly you realize, oh, I didn't get an invitation to that party. Now, don't raise your hand because it might be embarrassing, but everybody's had that experience, right? Where somebody had a really cool party and you find out after it's over and you didn't get invited. And that feels real bad. So that brings me to the question for today. At the party Jesus has, where we celebrate, and celebrate, I mean be thankful for and happy about and serious about all at the same time, what He did for us on the cross, and we come to this table, who's invited? Who gets to come? Now, we're going to find out today. Because are kids invited? Does Jesus want kids to come up to this table and be part of the party? You think? Well, I'm going to give you the right answer later. Or is there an age limit? And what about adults? Are all adults invited to come to this party or just some adults? Okay. I see how this is going to go. And that's good. Well, let's go to God's Word, to the Gospel of Matthew, and read chapter 11, verses 25 through 30, and see what Jesus says. And I want you to listen here for two things. I want you to listen for an amazing claim that Jesus makes and an astonishing invitation. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The amazing claim. No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. It's the greatest claim that Jesus ever made. The claim that is the center of the Christian faith. That He alone, Jesus, can reveal God to us. He put it this way in John 14, 9. "He who sees me has seen the Father." If you want to know what God is like, if you want to know the mind of God, the heart of God, the nature of God, if you want to know God's attitude toward all of humanity and toward you, look at Jesus. Get to know Jesus. That's why we're always reading those Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because they're all about Jesus. And as we get to know Him, we learn about our God. He reveals God to us. It's this Christian conviction that Jesus Christ alone, in Him alone, we see what God's like. We see God. And it's also the Christian conviction that Jesus can give that knowledge to anyone He chooses. That relationship to anyone humble enough to receive it. And then comes the astonishing invitation. "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest." That Greek word, kapiao, is translated weary. And it means weary, tired. But more, it's a particular kind of weary and tired. It's a tired and weary that comes from exerting oneself physically or mentally or spiritually, working hard, toiling, striving, struggling. And this weary has this sense of being exhausted from some very taxing labor, work for something or someone. And then the other word, burdened, there in the text is a different Greek word. It's fortizo, and it means to load someone down with something, to cause someone to carry something. And it's the image of the burden of keeping the law of Moses. Jesus said it another time in Luke. He said, "You experts of the law," and he's talking about religious law, he says, "Woe to you because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them." Have you ever had your hands full? Have you ever been carrying in the groceries and you got all the bags and you look over and someone is just watching and you're thinking, "Come on, help me out here." Have you ever been loaded down taking care of the kids? And you look at somebody you might be married to and say, "Hey, a little help here." This is a picture of an invitation that Jesus gives to those straining under the heavy, massive burden of keeping the law of Moses and the endless rules and stipulations added to it by the scribes and Pharisees. That they load people down. Have you ever felt like you just can't measure up to God's standard of righteousness? It's like, "Oh, I'm trying so hard I just can't measure up. I remember when I was 18 or 19 years old, I remember telling my brother very distinctly, I'm not going to be a Christian anymore because it's too hard. I'm tired of it. No matter how many verses I memorize, no matter how many times I go to church, how many Sunday school classes I go to or camps I go to, or other, I still find myself not being able to stay in the lines. And of course, that's what God's interested in most, right? Staying in the lines. And it didn't take me all that long in life to figure out I wasn't very good at that. And I was ready just to quit. If God's love, if God's acceptance of you is dependent on your ability to stay between the biblical, the lines of biblical morality, well, you're in trouble because you don't do it very well. And if you think you do, then you're in bigger trouble because the sin of spiritual pride is particularly disgusting to God. But the good news is, Jesus can, and He does. He does for you. And He invites us, this invitation to trust in Him, believe in Him, be yoked with Him. And He will carry you. He'll give you rest, guilt from the burden of straining to stay in the lines. Yeah, back in my college days, a job I had in college was working for Steel and Pipe Supply Company. And it was a dirty, nasty job. And I was still 5'6" then, but I weighed 30 pounds less. So I was a 135-pound little guy, and I'm packing steel. And packing steel means you go to these, we're in this huge warehouse, and you're pulling out these 20-foot-long I-beams and angle iron and flats and irons and rebar, all kinds of steel. And you pull it out by hand, you bundle it up, and then you use a hoist to put it on a truck. It was a dirty job, and it was a hard job. And I wasn't a really big guy. So it was hard work. And you always had a partner because it took two of you to carry that iron. And you know how you work that job with your partner? You got this 20-foot stuff. You'd pull out four or five of these angle iron, and you'd set it down a stack, and then he'd get on the very end, and I'd get on the very end, and you pick it up, and you put it on your shoulder, and you carry it over to where you're going to the bundle, and you put it down. It was hard work. But I got lucky for a couple of weeks in that job. And I got matched up with a partner who was a new guy. And the new guy was a football player at the university where we went. And he was a defensive lineman, big guy, really big guy. It's funny because you can see the angle of the angle iron from my shoulder to his. But what I really enjoyed about this guy is he wasn't that smart, really. And he didn't get the idea that to equalize that weight, you each got at the end of the beam or the angle iron. So he would inevitably help me pull that out of the bin. And then he'd get almost in the middle. Right. And I'm on the end doing this number. And he's carrying 90% of the weight, which he could because he was a huge guy. And like I said, I thought he wasn't too bright. But in retrospect, he was a sweet guy. He was the nicest guy ever. And now looking back on it, I'm not so sure that he didn't do that on purpose. Because he looked at this little scrawny guy trying to pack his iron. I think he was doing that on purpose just to help me out. Jesus does that. When he says yoked, now I know kids, what do you think of when you think of a yoke? I know, breakfast. Cracking, right, yeah. Okay, he's talking about a different kind of yoke. I should have brought a picture of it. I didn't even think about that till now. But a yoke is something that you would put on oxen so that they pull the cart. It's this big wood kind of harness thing that you put on the oxen and you tie them to the cart and they pull it. And so a yoke would be for two oxen and they would pull the cart together. Jesus is saying, you put my yoke on you. So that means you're partnered with Jesus. He's on one side, you're on the other. Guess who pulls the most? Guess who pulls almost all of it? He does. He carries his weight and yours too. Thomas A'Kempis, 15th century Christian monk wrote this about communing with God at the table. He said, "What is the meaning of this humble familiarity and this lovely and friendly invitation? How shall I, who do not know that I have done anything well, dare come to you? Angels honor you and just men fear you. Yet you say, 'Come all of you to me.' Except that you, Lord, said it, who would believe that it to be true? Except that you commanded it, who would dare approach?" And he did say it, and he does command it. There may be a voice whispering in your ear, saying something like, "You can't possibly think that you deserve to be a part of this table. You know the sinful state of your heart. This isn't for you." Let me assure you, that's not the voice of God. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened." And his invitation is one of grace. We celebrate and receive the bread that represents his body and the cup that represents his blood with humility, profound humility of heart and faith. Not in our goodness, but in the grace, forgiveness, and goodness of God. So, we're going to come to the table here in just a few minutes. Examine your conscience diligently. Examine your life. Confess your sins to God in your own heart. Coming to his table, it may be the first step back to practicing the faith that you've forgotten about and it was dormant in your life and your soul for years. The invitation to his table is for all who will call on Christ in faith, who trust in him alone for forgiveness of sins and a right relationship with God. The bread and the cup express promises, not that we make to God, but that God makes to us, to which we respond in faith. And when you stand and you walk to that table, it's not just walking up to a table for a snack. In walking to that table, you are expressing your faith in the goodness and mercy and grace of Christ. That's a walk of faith. But what about children? We started there. Let's come back to kids. Truthfully, there's no guidelines in the New Testament for children about the coming to the Lord's table. In all Paul's letters, he doesn't say anything about that. In the Gospels, nothing. There's nothing about that. However, a couple of things occur to me when we think about children here in church and children coming to the table. One, Jesus came into this world as a child. That's maybe instructive enough. But second, Jesus always, every time, without exception that we see in the Gospels, welcomed children that came to him. In fact, one time some of his disciples got annoyed at these moms who were bringing their little children to Jesus, and they tried to stop them. You know, "Jesus is too important for you. This is for adults. Stand back, children." And you know what Jesus said about that? You know, his response, it was this: "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms and he put his hands on them and he blessed them. So yes, you are welcome at the table. You're invited. You get the invitation too. There isn't an age limit. It's a matter of, do you believe in Jesus? Do you trust in him? And can you come in a respectful way that honors him? Jesus said, "Come with the faith of a child. Come in humility. Come receive his blessing at the table. And you will find rest for your soul." Through Christ, God reconciles us to himself and forgives us for sins. The invitation to come to the table of Christ, it reminds me a lot of an old-time altar call. Now, some of you maybe grew up in a church like I did, and maybe not, but in some churches they have what they call an altar call, where every single Sunday, the pastor at the end, he says, "Okay, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now's your time to come and get saved." But there was another part of that altar call, too. It was called, you either came the first time, or you came again to rededicate your life to Christ. Every time we come to this table, we come, in a sense, rededicating our lives to Christ and receiving again His promise. But maybe you've never done that for the first time. And what I'm trying to say today, if you want to come to the table and you've never given your life to Christ, you've never believed, you've never become a follower, step out, come to the table, and you will be, in doing that, you're saying, I believe in you, Jesus. I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. And you're welcome too when you come in that faith. All who call on the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, even if it's for the first time, you're invited to come and commune with Him at the table. So, our worship guys are going to come back. And I want you to take some time just to meditate and to think, to pray about the way Christ invites you to come to His table. He invites you. He wants to lift your burdens. He wants to give you peace and rest and hope and life. And we come and celebrate that at the table. And then when you're ready, go to one of the four tables that we have set. Partake of the bread, His body, and the cup, His blood. And then make your way around to the outside and stop for a blessing from one of our elders.